My guest at this time is Richard Viguerie, longtime fixture in the conservative movement. He pioneered the use of direct mail in political campaigning. He is the chairman at conservativehq.com, and he is the author of Takeover. He's joined us a number of times throughout this 2016 campaign, and since Donald Trump locked up the nomination, evaluating Trump's commitment to conservative principles, and by the end of the campaign, and certainly even after the convention, Richard was convinced that Trump was a candidate that conservatives could get behind. And so we want to get his reaction to Trump's victory this week and what signs he's looking for to confirm that Trump is, in fact, planning to lead a conservative administration. And Richard, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Greg.
One of the things that pollsters thought, and as we now know, they were wrong about quite a bit, but early on it seemed like Hillary Clinton had locked up her base earlier than Donald Trump. In the end, at least according to most exit polls, Trump got about 90% of Republicans, and that's pretty much the magic number you need to hit to have a strong base performance in a presidential election. What was the key to him winning over those who weren't all that enamored with him during the primaries?
Well, probably many things, but maybe on a short list, the top two would things that united conservatives, brought them home to support Trump in the Republican ticket, was Hillary Clinton in the Supreme Court vacancy. I think those two issues focused conservatives. Dr. Johnson said nothing focuses the mind like an impending hanging, and we felt that if Hillary Clinton and conservatives at the grassroots, not just national but or state, but those at the grassroots level, they really understood the Supreme Court, and not just one appointment, but it would be she would set the Supreme Court on a direction to be controlled by the left wing for 30 or more years, and it just terrified conservatives, and I think that that did it. And not only the Supreme Court, but they knew that she was a leftist, and the Democratic Party is growing more left-wing every day, and that we could expect a country that we wouldn't recognize in 4 years, and it just really terrified conservatives at the grassroots level.
So now we're in the transition phase. We've got a little over 2 months before Trump actually takes office. There's a couple different things that can happen during this transition phase that will give you an idea of what type of administration we'll be seeing for at least the next 4 years. One, of course, is something you refer to us constantly. Personnel is policy. You've drilled that into us very well over the years. When it comes to the key appointments coming up here, what do you want to see, and what will you need to see to be convinced he's on the same track?
Well, let me comment on that, Greg, by mentioning that I was there in 1964 for Goldwater's campaign. It was a good campaign. It lost, but it launched the conservative movement. And the conservatives were involved in the campaign, but it was basically run by the Republican establishment. 1980, Reagan's first election victory, and he won that. And it was a conservative victory, but Republicans establishment basically ran the campaign. The Bush wing of the party, Jim Baker and other establishment leaders. 2016, very, very different. This campaign was run from top to bottom by the conservative movement. Kellyanne Conway, you know, I was at her wedding 20 years ago, just a hardcore conservative movement leader. Steve Bannon, again, great conservatives. Dave Bossie, Mike Pence, the vice president, is a charter member of the conservative movement. Stephen Moore, you just, you know, no presidential campaign in my lifetime has looked like this. So personnel is policy. The people around him, the people who brought him over the finish line, is us, is the conservative movement. So I have every expectation going forward that conservatives would, we won't win all, we won't get all the positions, but we will dominate, I'm confident, the key positions in this administration.
You mentioned the role of Conway and Bannon and Bossie. They were not original lead members of this campaign. In fact, they were brought in after the convention. How much of an impact did you see of them on the campaign?
Oh, it was just huge. I texted all of them within hours after the great conservative Phyllis Schlafly died and said he needs to be at that funeral. Not only did he attend the funeral days later, but the entire leadership team was there at the funeral, Kellyanne and Steve Bannon, Dave Bossie. So the signals went out to the grassroots. You know, this man wants to be associated with us. He wants our support and our help. And so anyway, I think that Kellyanne primarily did a huge achievement by bringing home a winner there. I had a press conference yesterday, and I closed by saying that Kellyanne Conway, congratulations, you're the first woman to ever win a presidency. And I think a great deal of the credit goes to Kellyanne. And to be able to kind of set down some guidelines, I guess, for Mr. Trump regarding tweeting and use of his cell phone, that was an enormous contribution. But Kellyanne is just brilliant. We all know her, and she's a rock star now and a great role model for young women, I think, who are interested in a public policy career.
Richard, obviously a lot of appointments to be made. The cabinet positions will be the ones that get the most attention, and obviously some are more prominent than others. Are there any names out there, whether it's for state or defense or justice or treasury or any of the others out there, that you are particularly passionate about and hopeful that Trump will choose?
Well, I don't think it's helpful, quite frankly, Greg, to promote people so much publicly. Behind the scenes, lots of names are being promoted and talked about. I think the focus for conservatives publicly should be who we don't want. We recognize that people like Chris Christie, are going to have some role in the administration, but you do not want somebody like him in the Attorney General's office. Another position, we can live with, but I think we need to make sure that Donald Trump understands there are certain people just beyond the pale in certain positions. And so I think we're going to be very, very focused on making certain that we don't get people in these positions who are, have a radically different worldview than we do in that area of expertise that they're operating in.
And the other thing, of course, besides personnel, is what he prioritizes. We all hear about the 100-day agenda, and obviously in his Gettysburg speech and other places, Trump has talked about a lot of different things that he wants to do. What priorities do you think he should pursue first?
Well, maybe the number one above everything else is to make sure that they don't pass legislation in a lame duck session that prevents the new Trump administration from spending money and prioritizing things that are locked in November, December this year. It prevents the Trump administration from operating in those areas going forward. So we don't want any serious legislation done in the lame duck session there. Just a clean continuing resolution and defer spending decisions to the new administration. So that's number one. Making sure that no harm or damage is done in the lame duck session. Then he's going to be focused on his issues. This is an opportunity, though, for conservatives to do something, Greg, that we've been promised and promised and promised, and it never has happened. One of the things that liberals complain about for as long as you and I can remember is gridlock. They want to get rid of gridlock. Well, guess what? We can do that now. The Republicans have the House, they have the Senate, they have the presidency. And so with no gridlock, let's make sure that the taxpayers do not fund any ideological organization. The left receives something in the area of $10 billion a year to fund their liberal organizations. This is a great opportunity in the coming months to deny funding for any ideological organization. Conservatives do not get federal money. We do not want federal money. It's just immoral, I think, for taxpayers to be funding ideological organizations, and that's something that should be on the Republicans' agenda, because every conservative organization that we can think of out there, the opposition to them on the left is funded by the taxpayers, and that should be high on any Republicans' list to make sure that we deny funding of taxpayer money to liberal organizations.
Lastly, on the proactive front, in addition to obviously choosing a Supreme Court justice fairly soon, what about key policy moves? There's the Obamacare repeal that he's promised, tax reform, perhaps either gutting or scrapping the Iran nuclear deal. What do you think got to be up top there?
Well, probably number one would be repeal and replace Obamacare. That's the gift that just kept giving and giving. It led to big victories in 2010, 2014, 2016, and that's a promise that the Republicans have been making for 6 years, and now they need to deliver and repeal Obamacare and replace it with something much better. And I think I'd be surprised, shocked, and disappointed if the Republicans don't do that early on in the new administration here. Let me make a comment also, Greg, that there's a new coalition that's forming here now, and it's going to change American politics. The old coalition on the Republican side was the establishment Republicans and the constitutional grassroots conservatives. And we conservatives were the junior partner in that relationship. It was a relationship starting in 1912 when Roosevelt left the Republican Party, led to the election of Woodrow Wilson with less than 42% of the vote. We've been battling that wing of the party ever since. Going forward, these people have mostly left the Republican Party. The Mitt Romneys, the Jeb Bushes, the John Kasichs, they really have self-identified as not interested in supporting conservative agenda. So that's fine. Let them do whatever they want to do. We have a new coalition now, and that's the Trump populist and the grassroots constitutional conservatives. And that's going to be a governing coalition for many years to come. I think it's going to be very exciting to watch this new coalition without being interfered with the Bushes of the world and the Mitt Romney wing of the party.
Well, a lot to watch for in the coming months. And then, of course, once the inauguration actually happens. Richard, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, Greg. Bye.
Richard Viguerie is the chairman of conservativehq.com. He is the founder of Direct Mail as a campaign tool, longtime activist in the conservative movement, and the author of Takeover. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.